Turn with me, if you would, to the third chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And let us pray as we approach God's Word this morning. Lord God, we have seen the font today and are reminded of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Having seen your Word now, may we hear your Word, to know that you still speak and that your voice is still present among us. That even though you are far above us in the heavens, you are also right here with us. Not just in this place, but wherever we go. So may your word speak to us today and echo forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So Mark Twain said, "Always do right. This will gratify most people and astonish the rest." Today we're discussing the baptism of Jesus Christ. And to discuss the baptism, we need to understand what baptism means in our church. Baptism is part of the two sacraments of our church. The first is the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the Lord's Supper every month. We do it on a regular basis. It is a visible word to speak to us about what Christ has done. Baptism only happens once in each person's life. But baptism speaks the same way. It is a visible word to proclaim the promises of God, how real and how true they are. That's what a sacrament is. It's a sign or a seal of God's word. We read God's word together, but we see, taste, touch, and experience God's word in the sacraments. The sacraments are just as much part of God's word as the Bible. Why do we do baptism? As I told the children this morning, one reason we do baptism is because the Lord did it. This is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and we're reminded that the Lord himself went to the Jordan to be baptized with the people. The reasons he did this were solidarity with us. If God came to be among us, God even was baptized like us in Jesus Christ. That solidarity makes us all one in our baptism, even with the Lord. And so we follow the Lord into the waters of baptism, even though the Lord had no sin and had no need of being baptized, as John protests in our text today. The second reason that we do baptism is because the Lord told us to. In the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. The verb there is to make disciples. Not to baptize, but to make disciples. And the two ways we make disciples are to baptize and to teach them the things that God has commanded. So these are the reasons that we baptize in the church. But baptism has meaning. It has deep meaning for our lives. If you were old enough when you were baptized to remember it, it may have some visible meaning in your mind. If you were baptized as an infant, it has the meaning of being in the church and knowing that it happened and knowing that people cared enough about you to baptize you, to raise you in the faith, so that one day you would proclaim that faith as your own. Personally, baptism marks who you are in God. Baptism has put you on the path to repentance and renewal. Baptism occurs with human hands, whether it is with my hands as a pastor, some other pastor in the past, but baptism is actually done by the Lord. The Holy Spirit is at present and at work in the water, and it is the Lord who is the one at work. We are, as the scriptures say, risen to walk in the newness of life from that waters. Our life should be new and different from that. That new never wears off. It's like a seminary professor friend of mine asked one of his friends when they said, that's going to be different if we do it that way in the church. And he said, do you kiss your wife every day? And he said, well, yes. And he says, well, has it lost its newness when you do that on the way out? It is the same with this. The newness never wears off in our baptism. Just because that moment happened years and years ago in your life, it is still new and still at work. Some people have misunderstood baptism, misunderstood being repentant and changing in their lives. For instance, the Emperor Constantine, one of the most famous Christians in all of history, would not get baptized until he was on his deathbed. He was afraid of making a mistake. And so he waited until he was dying to be baptized by the priests. If you get baptized, you are still going to make mistakes. You're still going to commit sins. Hopefully fewer and fewer of those every day. But in that way, you don't lose the weakness of your humanity. Instead, you add the grace of God to what is going on in your life. Remembering your baptism will cause you to remember the process of repentance. And that repentance continually works out in your life and has been working for a long time. The process of justification, of rooting out evil, didn't just happen once. You don't just leave behind the sins that happened before your baptism, but God continually roots those out in your life and replaces those with good works. That's the ultimate goal of our baptism, is to move from sin to good works. Because the forgiveness and mercy of God wants us to move from one to the other. Baptism marks a new orientation in our lives. For us, salvation comes from God, and forgiveness can happen any moment. But one day, we are made more and more like God, and we continue every day. Baptism reminds us to take part in that process, not just to be passive, but to be active, to not be stuck in bad behaviors that are contrary to God's ways, but instead to learn God's ways more and more each day and contribute not to the problems of the world, but to making a difference. In this way, every day through baptism, we're living God's heart. As we say, we're living God's heart, hands, and voice. The key active word there is to live. And baptism gives us new life by changing who we are. Baptism also marks whose we are. Our life does not belong to us. Our life belongs to God. The Heidelberg Catechism says, in life and in death, we belong to Jesus Christ. Our real reorientation in baptism is towards God. For those who are baptized in God, the center and focus of life is God. It's marked that we belong to God. God made you, God created you, and God claims you in baptism. God is the one clamoring for you in life. Not Instagram followers, not fans, not relationships. God is the one who's been clamoring for you and going out of the way for you, reaching out to you. God wants you, and God claims you in baptism. The repentance of baptism means ordering and living your life around this new Lord, the one who has called you and claimed you. No matter how small you think that you are, no matter how insignificant you think you are in life, you belong to God. Because God made no one that is insignificant. Living God in life means asking God what God wants you to do. And your baptism is reminding you and calling to you about this. Repentance is not just about turning from the bad, it is turning toward the good. We call this sanctification. Living more and more in the Holy Spirit, being made more holy each day. To be made holy sounds churchy, right? But to be made more like the Holy Spirit living in you. More like God and how God wants you to be from day to day. The third thing, and this is the part of baptism that is often left out because baptism is described so often as an individual act. It has become so personal that it's individual and it's only ours. But this is not the case. Baptism is a personal act because it happens to each of us. But it's not an individual act. It's not done alone. Baptism comes in community and with others. Someone else baptized you. Some other community baptized you, whether it is this church or some other church that you grew up in. But they gave you this bath. Others gave you this bath. You did not take it on your own. You may take your own bath each day. But the Lord gives you this bath with others. We believe in one baptism, but we believe in one baptism as part of a community, to belong to God and to belong to one another. It is why when we have a baptism, we ask one another the questions about whether or not we are going to raise this child or support this adult in their Christian faith and walk. Something that we do together. How do you know if someone's part of the Christian community? The first way is that they've been baptized. The second is that they walk together and remember that baptism together. It doesn't make baptism necessary to go to heaven when we die. Our faith and our belief in Christ does that. But baptism gives us the opportunity to proclaim that to others and the opportunity to join others who have given their lives to Jesus and who are working together for the purpose of something beyond themselves. The purpose of what we do here has eternal significance. The church will one day go on without each of us. We are trying to instill, as Timothy's family did, the faith of Jesus Christ in the future. We live that future now so that future generations will know. So that they will know there is a purpose that will outlast all of us and build until Jesus returns. One of my favorite psychiatrists is Viktor Frankl. He studied how human beings act and live together. He spent time in a concentration camp. And this is where our baptism offers us a choice to live differently. In John the Baptist's day, they came out to make the choice to live God's way, not to live the ways of the world. Frankl was in a Nazi concentration camp, and he said this: "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting other, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." Baptism is the moment where we choose God, just as God chooses us. We have the opportunity to give away our last piece of bread, to care for others and comfort others in the difficult walk that is life. This is a moment of choice for us today. God has chosen you. God has called you. God has reached out to you. Choose God at the font. Choose God to follow from day to day. Remember your baptism. Remember whose you are. Remember who you are being made into. Remember the community that you do it in together. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called us in our baptism to give ourselves over wholly to you. You are our Lord. You are the one we serve from day to day. Call us once again to repentance, to live our lives in alignment with you, and to live our lives together, to encourage one another, to walk with each other, and to remind one another of our baptisms each day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.